Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 298, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WWF SummerSlam 1995. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined as always by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to step into the Wayback Machine, return to Pittsburgh, and experience the best and worst of pro wrestling in 1995?
You know, this is, like you said, it's a weird show, and we're going to kind of see that in two matches, where you have a ladder match, and then you have King Mabel against Diesel, so kind of weird dynamics here that really kind of illustrates what we're dealing with WWE, WWF, in 1995.
Right. This is normally the part where we start going over the reviews of the show, and I'm just going to start because I don't want to give away anything that happens in the rest of the show. The Wrestling Observer readers gave SummerSlam a 90% thumbs up vote, which is rare, let's say.
Especially 90%?
Especially for a WWF show in this era, 90%. 89.5, it rounds to 90.
Holy cow. Yeah, and friendly vote? What was that?
That's amazing. The Pro Wrestling Torch, the readers gave it an average score of 8.7 out of 10.
Well,
so yeah, this was a very well received show, and I think I think it's good, A, but B, you know, pro wrestling in 1995 not so great, so you know, any good show is going to get maybe elevated a little bit more than you'd think.
Well, we'll see how if it ends strong here in 1995.
All right, but before that, we do have a little time to fill, so I thought we would take in a brief bonus match. If everybody would get on the YouTube and type in Hakushi versus Jeff Hardy. Hakushi, H-A-K-U-S-H-I. It is from WWF Superstars on July 8th, 1995. It's on Monsoon Classics YouTube. And the reason, and, you know, one good reason for choosing it, Jim, is it is not, I repeat, not available on the WWE Network, this match.
Too bad. They should have
thrown
on there.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, given their current pace, I'm sure that they will be getting to this match and uploading this show around, 2285, 2286, somewhere in there.
Hey, look, whatever King Maxwell's debut is, we'll check it out.
All right, there it is. So I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds of this, and it looks like a darkened building. Jim?
Yeah, it looks very pixelated. It looks like Nintendo 64 graphics, but we'll make it work.
We will make it work, so we will all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, yep. Okay, so here we go. Oh, yeah, and the volume's up, and the volume's jacked up pretty high. Yeah, okay, but here it is. It's Hakushi, and even with the video quality, you'll want to take a good gander at Jeff Hardy here in a second.
Look at that.
There you go. 6'1", 213.
Jeff Hardy is also 13 years old here.
Yeah, no kidding. This is 25 years ago, folks.
This is how long ago it was. Hakushi has tattoos. Jeff Hardy doesn't.
That's a long time. Yep. So now, the other thing you might notice if you are listening to the commentary on this is Superstars is syndicated, and obviously whoever recorded this was doing so in the New York area, because Vince and Doc Hendricks, a.k.a. Michael Hayes, are going to spend most of the match talking about the upcoming fundraisers in the New York, New Jersey area that they're doing. They have 4 fundraising shows in the month of July. Spoiler, they're all headlined by Bam Bam Bigelow versus King Kong Bundy and Savio Vega versus King Mabel.
Judging by what Hakushi pulled out of the bag, is it a headlock on hunger?
No, I don't think it is. But yeah, yep. I don't think that's it. Anyway, we get the wrist lock here, and
Jeff Hardy, like a young Barry Hardy with that haircut.
Oh my goodness! Well, yeah, I was surprised at first that they weren't related. Crossbody and yep, and Jeff Hardy actually gets a surprising amount of offense in there, especially when you think about, you know, Hakushi was being pushed at the time.
How remarkable. Jeff Hardy taking on basically somebody from Michinoku Pro. That's insane.
Yeah, well, the 90s was... 1995 was kind of an insane year. I mean, we're two months out here from the start of the Monday Night Wars. And when we go back to the main show, we'll be a week out. And things got crazy, as you'll remember. Although I'm surprised that Hakushi hasn't gotten above white belt by now.
You'd think. I mean, yeah. Elvis got a black belt in like a week.
I
so
know.
You'd think that Hakushi could do it.
Right. That guy on the outside is Shinja, the manager of Hakushi, who ended up going back to Japan before SummerSlam. And, yeah.
Akio Sato.
Right. The legendary Akio Sato.
I'm not sure, but I'm beginning to think maybe Jeff Hardy dyes his hair blonde.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. All right. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
You think the Hardy Boys made these outfits? They look pretty plain.
It's quite possible. I mean, do you think they borrow them from somebody? Because I don't think people were. I don't think guys were loaning out their tights to to the enhancement talent back then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy, they worked enhancement here. They did, I believe. There's footage of Matt Hardy at least in Smoky Mountain, putting over guys on their TV show.
Yeah, the opening of Raw is actually Jeff Hardy fighting Frank Gotch. That black and white tape.
Yeah,
not many people know that. It's true. That was Omega. Not many people remember that. Very
right,
early
yeah,
Omega.
Frank Gotch didn't get into Omega very often, but yes. Also, that show had Hurricane Helms against Chuck Coates. I thought you'd know that.
I wonder if Jeff Hardy sitting here going, those tattoos look pretty good. I should get me about seven dozen of those.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
All over the body.
Oh, there we go. All right, well.
That was it?
I guess that's it. You got the arm scissors and...
Well, the armbar?
Yep, that's shorter armbar, yeah.
Hakushi flies all over the ring. That's his finish. Okay.
Yep. Well, the submission, I guess the submission was a novelty back then.
He just planted it right underneath the chin there.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, it's Barry. It's Barry Dozinski socking Razor Ramon t-shirts. Oh, my goodness.
Who's that?
Barry Dozinski.
I don't know who that is.
He was the home shopping guy for... During this era, they would, cut to him, and he'd be pushing stuff like the Home Shopping Network, Like we're seeing right now. Oh, my goodness. What's even better than seeing Scott Hall in the front of the shirt is seeing the massive WWF logo on the back. Nothing says cool like that.
Well, and also a bunch of razors. Yeah. Who doesn't want razor blades all over their shirt?
Well, I don't know. All right. And Hakushi's leaving the ring while this is going on.
But Kevin Dunn did a great job really helping Hakushi.
Yes, I'm a big, big fan. All right. Well, there you go. That's Jeff Hardy 25 years ago. And very little has changed, obviously, with him.
Now he's wrestling Sheamus.
Well, okay, there is that. Other than that, very little has changed. Support for Wayback Playback is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jim, not only is Manscaped the official electric trimmer of UFC, it is also the official electric trimmer of Wayback Playback, and I know you're very excited about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pat. When you're going to Fight Island on UFC, you want to look your best.
That's true.
And I'll tell you what, here... We'd like to look our best, but I mean, look, we only got so much to work with in many ways. But
and there's social distancing, so we don't need to. So.
Here's the thing. The people at Manscaped have thought of everything. Mm-hmm. You can use this shaver dry or wet, so in the shower, it's totally fine.
Right.
Also, it's got a light. It's got a light right along the little clipper line, mm-hmm. so you can get down close and see everything. Because, maybe there's a belly hanging over. Maybe there are things in the way. They're shadows. Takes care of a lot of the shadows. So when you're wrestling with the shadows, manscaping is in your corner.
That's true. And having Manscaped in your corner is wonderful and nice because it features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. And the last thing that any of us want are manscaping accidents, Jim.
Yeah, I can't afford to lose any more than I already have. So I got nothing else to work with, Pat. So I've got to be careful. And thanks to manscaping, I can.
And for a limited time, they have the perfect package. And we're not talking about Lex Luger here. We're talking about the perfect package where you get the Manscaped 3.0 lawnmower shaver. You get your deodorant and your toner and disposable shaving mats. But you also get absolutely free a travel bag, which is a nice travel bag, and your official anti-chafing boxers from Manscaped. That's a $60 value.
Well, not only that, you know, summer's coming. And yes. It's going to be warm, and sometimes things can get a little sweaty, a little swampy. Mm-hmm. And this keeps things clean and as dry as possible. So it's a really nice thing to have as we head into the summer months. It's, you know, it's funny to joke about, yes. But honestly, it's a fantastic product. It's a great design. They have thought of everything. And seriously, not even a joke, your balls will thank you.
Absolutely. And your wallet will thank you if you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code WAYBACK, because if you use the promo code WAYBACK, you get 20% off and free shipping on any of the Manscaped products there, including the trimmers, the shears, replacement blades, the cologne. Yes, they have cologne. It doesn't matter. Or even the Manscaped breath mints. Doesn't matter. 20% off and free shipping. Get it now. Manscaped.com, promo code WAYBACK. Let's see. In our notes, Jim, you'll be thrilled to know that according to Chartable, we are now ranked number 370 in global sports podcasts. So there's a million podcasts, and out of the sports podcasts, we're all the way up to number 370.
Are these for the Global Wrestling Federation?
I'm guessing. I don't know. But yeah, all around the world. Also, we got back on the charts in Brazil. So
That's very nice.
We are the 1,636th most listened to podcast in Brazil. I assume somebody, I don't know how they count these. All right. Well, on that note, let's go back to SummerSlam. And we left off at 1 hour, 54 minutes and 34 seconds. Michael Hayes is interviewing Razor Ramon right behind the curtain, and he's about to go out through the curtain into the arena. And I'm seeing Razor's back. I'm seeing the massive Razor blade and Razor Ramon's name on the back.
Of course, and Jim Ross's vest that he's wearing.
Yeah, that. Well, that's the front. Nice. That's the front. We can't see that from here. But yes. Okay, we're all the same spot?
I'm in position, yes.
Okay, we're all in position, and we are ready. We're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so the first ladder match, WrestleMania 10, what generally considered one of the best matches on WrestleMania in that era, and the first ladder match to get that sort of rave review. And the fact that they're doing the rematch, people are wondering if they can duplicate the original. Which would be pretty tough, frankly. The main difference, of course, is now, A, Sean's a babyface, and B, Sean has the title.
You know, I got to say that for me personally, maybe other people were excited. I wasn't really feeling this. I felt like that first match was so great at the time.
Yeah.
That it couldn't be topped. I just didn't feel like they were going to top it. That's just my feeling going into it. How about you?
Yeah, and there wasn't an issue between them. It felt kind of like a stunt. They were going to do Shawn Michaels versus Sid. They felt like they saw the matches that they're doing at the TV tapings with Shawn and Sid. And they went. I don't know if that's going to translate into a pay-per-view style match. Plus, they wanted to do Shawn and Sid on September 11th, which is the first Raw where they would be head-to-head with Nitro, because Shawn Michaels and Sid had been brewing since the night after WrestleMania 11 when Sid turned on Shawn. It's in theory a match that should have been very anticipated. But this is the match they thought could get people who were on the fence to order the show, which is the goal here. I don't know what that is. I'm sure I'm going to see it on Pinterest, whatever Sean's wearing.
That is quite the outfit. Sean's outfits were always decorated to a T in this era.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe the Bedazzler might have had something to do with that one. I don't know.
Yeah, he definitely had a lot of sparkle.
Yes.
In this time frame. He had a lot of... I always felt like they're obviously very quality outfits,
right,
but it just feels like there's a lot. You got hat, you got the vest, you got the long earrings, you got the wristbands, you've got chaps, you've got... He's got too much, and you need to just have a couple of signature pieces, I think, from a fashion standpoint to focus on.
Well, I think part of it was also... It was around this time that he came into some money. A wealthy wrestling fan died and left her fortune to Shawn Michaels. I'm not making this up.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he can get extra outfits if he wants to. I mean, geez.
Just seems a little busy that it could work, but it could be better. I think less would be more in this case. Maybe lose the hat. I don't know.
Well, plus, you know, when you think pro wrestling champion, you usually think turquoise, don't you?
You know, that's not a bad color for him.
It's not.
I'm actually kind of surprised. You know, WWE always did signature colors, signature designs and things. And did anybody, like Farouk, I guess? Nobody ever really did like a signature teal or turquoise, did they?
Well, Vince kept trying to put guys in teal. And, you know, and you saw how well that worked.
True. That usually means they were leaving the territory.
I mean, the only one it really worked for was, of course, the genius Lanny Poffo.
But what didn't work for him?
Everything worked for him. All right. So that's Cousin Oliver is your referee for this match, apparently. He grew up. Oh, here we go. Okay, there's the hook.
It's only one championship belt this time, not two. Shawn a little trimmer than he was at WrestleMania 10.
By the way, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm guessing that's the same rigging they used to hook up Owen Hart.
Not even close.
Well, it's probably more secure than the rigging they used to hook up Owen Hart, frankly.
Way more secure.
Yeah. Jeez.
That was such a shocking thing to see on television. I could not believe it. All these years, I'd never seen that. They talk about a carabiner. I envisioned like a carabiner, like you go climbing with or something, and just like a small one or a thin one. And that clip looked like a keychain, crying out loud.
Yeah, Cam Hawkins from the East Coast cast said, I can't believe Owen Hart was hooked up to a novelty keychain. And that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
Very, very sad. There's a free interview, by the way, that Dave Meltzer I did with Martha Hart.
Oh, hey.
Dark Side of the Ring. You can find it at Wrestling Observer, or you can find it on the Figure 4 Wrestling Observer YouTube page. And it's
and you should hour and a half. Absolutely check that out, yes.
Yeah, she's very open, very honest. Very nice.
And I'm glad it happened because it sort of puts to rest, you know, some of the myths, I guess, that have been built up over the years about Martha Hart.
That, and also I feel like because it's television or a movie form documentary that more people now finally understand her position on the Hall of Fame and understand it. And there are fewer people seemingly pushing for Owen to go in the Hall of Fame.
I don't see them inviting her into the Hall of Fame anytime soon. I mean, well, they might try to invite her, but I don't see it happening. All right, so there they are, and now I was watching this wondering, okay, is the ladder actually going to get up there?
It's really high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty high. Okay, but we're not supposed to be, you know, okay, there we go. I thought we should be more focused on the stare down going on here. All right, and they're friends, and well, they it didn't take long for them to go to punching each other in the face.
It's the way it is sometimes.
Yes, it is.
When you're mullet friends, you punch each other in the face. That's what mullet friends do.
Well, if we were fighting for the Intercontinental title, even though neither of us has mullets, you know, it'd probably get to that pretty quickly.
Or athletic ability. Yeah.
Yeah. Or we'd try to scratch each other's eyes out. One or the other. Yeah. I don't know. I'd be wondering how much I could pawn that belt for. What, $200-$300?
Oh, she could probably do better than that, I bet. Yeah. Conrad Thompson?
Right. I'd call Conrad. You're right.
Of course, he probably has seven of them in better condition than yours, so.
That's true. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah, just tell him it's an NWA six-man belt. He'll be
he'll be all over that. Maybe if I told him it's the Western States Heritage title. He already has that, doesn't he?
Probably.
Yeah, he probably does. All right. Yeah, by the way, we were slightly below the number one globally rated sports podcast, which is, of course, run by Chris Jericho. So.
Chris Jericho's awesome.
Yeah, he is. All right. Okay, so I guess we're going to start with an actual match and not go to the ladder spots at, right away, which is fine, actually.
You know, one of the things about the first match was the mystery surrounding it. I mean, you had a general idea about the ladder match and the rules and what you needed to do to win the ladder match, but you didn't, as a fan, understand what they were going to do in WWE with the ladder.
Right.
And that was probably a lot of the success of the match. But here, there's already an expectation. And so this right now, I think just as a fan, you're going, okay, go get the ladder. This is kind of boring. Go get the ladder. Go get the ladder. Dive off the ladder already.
Yeah. And I mean, this is not even like it would be, like it would be today where you're like, it's okay. It's a ladder match. Great. Yeah. Great. I can play one of those on, my PlayStation here.
Yeah. I was amazed how good the ladder match at the last WrestleMania was between Kofi Kingston and John Morrison and one of the Usos.
Right. I mean, because it's one of those things you think you've seen it all.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, they did a great job. But, I mean, we're at the point in 1995 where there still aren't even indie shows. Where they're still we're not even at the point where indie guys are trying to do this match.
No, it's kind of weird that one of the guys that probably these days even more so than Shawn and Razor, Jeff Hardy, is wrestling Hakushi of the undercard. Most widely associated, probably the most famous ladder matches.
That's true. The idea of a tag team ladder match had not come into focus, nor have we done the tables, ladders, and chairs match. Oh.
Yeah, my understanding, Devon get the tables, and he was like, what are you talking about?
What tables?
Get them yourself.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yes. And what kid didn't want a Razor Ramon foam razor?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for cutting your foam cocaine, I guess. I don't know.
That's what I hear. You get a foam straw?
Yeah, jeez.
First you get the money, the foam money, then you get the foam power, then you get the foam women.
Brought to you by Nerf. Right, oh, there we go. Let's see. Whoa. Nice.
Kind of feels like they're just going through the motions. I mean, they're very good at it, but this doesn't feel like wrestling.
Yeah.
Feels like an exhibition.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a match because instead, a pin doesn't count, a submission doesn't count. You're going, okay, who's going to go and get the ladder? And really the next question would be, I guess we haven't gotten to that point yet, but why would you try to stop the other guy from bringing the ladder to the ring? Because eventually you're going to need the ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what's crazy, is that the ladders aren't underneath the ring.
That's true.
Like a mile away for some reason.
Well, they hadn't thought of it. They hadn't thought of doing it that way yet. But finally, I think they just went to under the ring for convenience. There's no way I'm getting that ladder out from under the ring. And there's Sid looking on the 6-inch monitor they had backstage instead of what they have today.
But as long as he's watching it from the side,
that's all that matters. And really, so the SummerSlam T-shirts for '95 are really throwing me off with the orange and. Yeah, the sunset over Pittsburgh or whatever the motif is supposed to be.
That's the cologne I got my wife for her birthday. Sunset over Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah,
I hear the knockoff is also pretty good. I don't know what it's called, but... Yeah. All right, so we've got the ladder. The ladder is in the ring.
We have ladder.
Yes. Okay. So as long as... Okay. All right, so as long as nothing happens to this one ladder, because we only brought one ladder, we're okay.
Probably union rules.
Right.
The union says you can only bring one ladder, and you have to set it up somewhere near New Jersey.
Right.
You can't put it near the ring.
It's got to be in Parsippany.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
You got to go.
I like how Shawn Michaels just discovered, oh, I can hit someone with a ladder. Oh, here we go. And, oh, Shawn's mooning the audience. Pull your pants up, Shawn. There we go.
But he's a sexy boy.
Oh, he goes down, and he's got his, and he had his shin caught in the ladder.
Do you think he calls his butt Farty Jannetty?
He should. Yeah. I mean, did you see the Marty Jannetty story from this week on Twitter? Marty going on Twitter and asking, this girl's telling me she's 20. Do you think she looks 20?
That's got to be a troll, right? He's just having fun.
Maybe. It's Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
You can't rule it out. Oh. I mean, Marty had a 20-year-old girl. I thought his question would be, how much money should I leave on the dresser? I mean, you know, this is confusing. All right, stomp away.
Just a roll of quarters, probably.
Yeah.
Unless he got a stimulus check.
Well, that's true. Hey.
Of course, I guess if he's leaving with her, it is a stimulus check, if you know what I'm saying.
Ba-dum-boom. No, we're not doing the Blue Chew ads anymore. So it's okay. Oh, there we go. Oh, this is just, well.
That sucks. Oh, no.
Yeah.
If Shawn has got a hurt knee.
I don't know how he's going to climb.
Well, that means he might be climbing up the ladder really slowly.
That would be an incredible disadvantage.
Yeah.
You have one guy who can climb the ladder at regular speed, and the other guy is doing it very slowly.
So you'll have a person who can do really slow, and the other one who does really, really slowly.
Yes. Well, I hope they booked enough time for this pay-per-view then. They'll just have the Mabel match go short. What are we worried about? Okay, up we go. Oh, he's going to slam on the ladder? Yes, he is. Oh my goodness, how's he going to get up from having his leg slammed on the ladder like that? I mean that would put off my entire day of climbing on the roof. I don't climb on the roof. Who am I kidding? Never mind.
Yeah, the gutters are on their own by now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Sassafras Kitty wants to watch this. Hi, Sassy. Okay. No, Sassy, it's not time for the Ken and Tech spot. We're saving that for the Mabel match. All right. Ken and Tech's Pet Care, Bangor, Maine. Sponsors Way Back Playback. We'll get into the details later.
It seems like a lot of overt selling, even for Shawn Michaels here.
Yeah, well, I mean, Razor's his friend. You know, any members of the clique have a match against each other, they're going to make each other go out with where to make each other look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that's the idea. Oh, nope. Oh. Oh, no. Not the abdomen.
I wonder what the popularity of ladder matches. One of the stickers says, do not use in Intercontinental title matches.
Well, you'd think.
Just for legal ramifications to make sure that they're covered.
Right. Well, you'd have to, okay, but the ones that are intended to be used for Intercontinental title matches, they don't have that sticker, right?
Well, no, I think you put them on all of them just so the ladder.
Oh,
the ladder
just so you're covered, yeah.
Legal protection, yeah.
Right.
Just like, you know, the mattress tags everybody pulls off.
Yeah, I know. Oh, here we go. Oh, no. He's going after the leg again. Yes. Yes, it's highly unusual. Vince McMahon says this sort of match is highly unusual.
I'm not sure, but I think his strategy is to hurt Shawn's leg.
That could be something to that. Oh, and Shawn's strategy is to, I don't know, convince him to throw himself over the top rope. That's going to work. There we go. All right. Yes. And, Michael Hayes is not announcing like 1986 Michael Hayes.
So fewer George Thorogood song titles?
Yes. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, he's announcing it like he actually is Doc Hendricks. So it's like he's the human cliche machine, which is unfortunate.
He kind of was after he left the first run in Texas.
Yeah.
All he did was quote songs and cliches. I know Meltzer thinks he's a great talker, and Meltzer's a super smart guy, but I disagree.
He was a good talker. He was a really good talker, but you know it went. I mean it, but you know you're right. It went downhill.
Yeah, kind of like his boobs.
Well, yeah. Boom, boom. And yeah. Oh, Sean's still down.
Are those like motocross boots or motorcycle boots that Sean's wearing?
It looks like it, yeah. Well, you know, you gotta fashion. I mean, you gotta make a statement. Let's see. Oh. They're still not as good as Herb Abrams boots.
No, they're not. That's true. Sean should have WWF on his.
That's right.
He didn't have Shawn Michaels cookies either.
No. Imagine how much money they could have made up for Shawn Michaels cookies.
He could have made tens of dollars, I bet.
That's right.
Of course, they have WWE ice cream sandwiches now.
Yeah. That's good.
On WWE Backstage, they gave one to CM Punk to try. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because CM Punk was talking about the ice cream bars, right. Remember?
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, this is great, but it doesn't have the chocolate. And he bit into it. He's like, 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh boy, he's gonna make them pay and pay and pay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wrestling physics: you get hit in the back and you fall backwards.
Yep. Well, that makes sense. He was hit. He bounced off the ladder, which he was six. Never mind. I give up. Okay. All right. Still not. Yeah. It's okay. It's looking like he can reach the ladder. It looks like he can reach the belt from the ladder. It's at least possible. Maybe they lowered it like a foot while we weren't watching. You would think somebody would have tested that out before the show, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Maybe there's some evil heel that's got their hands on the controls.
Dun dun dun. No, they haven't thought of that yet.
Sure. Okay. Maybe yet. Someone recorded Razor Ramon saying, I quit, and they're going to play it, and then Razor Ramon will lose the good. Match.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yep. Hold on a moment. Okay. Hold on a moment, Jim. I have a minor cat emergency going on. Talk amongst yourselves.
There we go. So Shawn Michaels with the belly-to-back suplex on Razor Ramon off of the ladder. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen the WrestleMania 10 match, but this just seems really plotting. And as I watch this, I can't decide, are they trying so hard to make every little thing count, or do they really not care and they're just trying to make everything count because they don't want to do that much? I'm really torn as far as what the mind frame here is between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon.
I think that, well, they don't really have anything to gauge it against except for the other ladder matches they've seen, which have all involved Shawn Michaels. You know, the one he had with Brett that was on Coliseum Video and the one that they had previously. So, yeah, I know they're trying to do a different, you know, a slightly different ladder match.
Yeah.
They don't want to do the exact same match with just a twist at the end.
I hope Razor Ramon's okay, because that's Earl Hebner outside the ring.
Yeah.
I don't like his chances now.
All right, that's true.
It's a very hot pink shirt that gentleman's wearing.
Yes, it is.
Very, very 90s.
Yeah, that's quite the look there. But yeah. All right. It's amazing that, you know, that there's a fan wearing that shade of pink and none of the wrestlers are.
Yeah, you'd think that'd be a really popular color at this era. Things are so bright. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, there we go. Oh.
Yeah. I fell off the ladder. kind of crappy camera work by WWE for that one.
Right. Well, maybe they didn't know it was coming.
Are they going to do a replay? God, see, that's another. See, this is not like WWE. You think they'd
be? No, it's not.
Let's look at that again.
Yeah.
What a maneuver.
They're not used to having to shoot people on top of ladders, I guess. There we go. Oh. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Sean's obviously dead. He fell off a ladder.
Well, he's really sucking wind right now. He's tired.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got up to... Yeah. Yeah, they are. Well, they're selling. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying it, but they're selling.
Yep. All right. It's kind of rough because they have to, like, yell... They have to yell across the ring to communicate. It's kind of awkward when they're both down like that. Yeah, well. All right. Oh, here we go. There we go. Took him forever. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Okay, so he's bringing the ladder over to Sean so they can go over the next couple spots. Yep. And that's awfully courteous of him, you know. Not every opponent will do that for you.
No.
Here we go.
What? I think Razor Ramon is basically as tall as the ladder.
Well, yeah. Oh, no. Sean's not going to be able to climb the ladder. All right.
Okay. You know, they did a terrible job of teaching wrestlers how to climb ladders and cages in wrestling school.
I know. You think they'd go over the... At least at the power plant, you think they'd have gone over it.
You think?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have the performance center now, so we don't have to worry about that. Yep. Oh, the headbutt on the ladder.
I don't remember Scott Hall doing a headbutt. Okay, what... I don't know what happened there.
The ladders fell over, and so they could both crotch themselves.
Did the headbutt? Did Sean like poke him in the eye? Is that why he fell, or did he fell because the headbutt?
I don't. Yeah, well, there wasn't an adequate reason given why they tipped over.
Yeah, I don't understand the motivation for that.
They wanted to get to the spot where they both crotched themselves.
Yes, and who doesn't?
Well, yes. I mean, I know. I don't feel all right. You know, on a Sunday night without a good crotching on the top rope. Let's go. Let's go watch it again. No, they just jumped.
Okay, then.
They were abandoning ship. Well, we were trying to jump off the Titanic, and we forgot the top rope was underneath us. Oh, okay. That could have used some practice.
Slowly falling is the theme of this match.
Yeah. All right. Geez, I'm going to be really disappointed if he comes out from there and he hasn't bladed.
You think Hornswoggle's underneath there, like a young Hornswoggle?
Yeah. I think so. Here we go. Nope. Not done yet. All right, so... Okay, so we're going to crawl away from the ladder. All right. He was looking for something. Okay, now I get it. They did have a second ladder.
Look at that.
Yay! Okay. Good thinking, guys.
Look at that. It's the Hebners of ladders.
That's right.
Is there an evil twin ladder?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ladder 1 and ladder 2.
They're not conquistadors, Pat. They're ladders.
All right.
I believe it's Nikki and Brie Ladder.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, Sean is climbing very slowly.
Yes, he is.
Slowly.
And now he's up. Oh, no. Like, yeah, there we go. We got that spot out of the way.
Crowd loved that one.
Except for Guy in Pink, who's not particularly impressed.
He looks very judgmental.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's hard to impress.
And right now he's complaining to his seatmate about their lack of tan. They're not tan
probably
enough.
True.
Yeah. We're live from Pittsburgh.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, that's a good tight shot. Okay. Yep. Here we go. So, all right, I've got two ladders. And there's the belt.
So if Scott has two ladders and Sean has zero ladders,
yeah,
how can he get the Intercontinental Championship? Show your work.
That's true. It's a word problem, I know. Well, he has to leave Toledo going on a train traveling 100 miles an hour. And then... we're going to set one ladder beside where you're supposed to climb. Okay, that makes sense.
It's not even close.
I know it's not close. Oh, yeah. I should probably pull it over this way.
Need like a survey crew? What is that?
Oh, if they want to set up the ladders side by side. Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh. Best friends with ladders.
Yeah. Well, they were only going to be called best friends with ladders when they thought... Oh, never mind. Oh. When they thought we were adding Shannon Moore to the stable, but there we go.
All right, oh, so no. Sean gets a little tiny kick, and he does not get the ladder.
So neither of them managed to set up their ladder underneath the belt.
Wow. Which is great, because this match must continue.
Yes. Matter of fact, if you can continue the match and take up the rest of the pay-per-view... That'd be great. Have you ever seen anything like this, Doc? No, not since the last ladder match.
Goodness gracious, I think the Monday Night Wars are over. Holy cow, this match.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
So that was a spot they had to come up with.
Right, so there's one ladder.
Yep.
Okay, now where's the other ladder?
Just get the belt, that's all I care about. Get the belt.
Yeah.
Okay. Be like Elegante. I want the belt.
Oh, here we go. One more.
Come on, use flex tape.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Young Dr. Ken was not impressed, by the way.
Look at that. Shawn Michaels got the ladders like Vader. Look at that.
Bad ladder. Bad.
The ladder, a fat piece of crap.
Yeah.
Why don't you move, you stupid belt? There it is.
Crunk. Hey! I shouldn't have laughed at that. I'm a bad person.
And at that moment, Sean's like, I don't want this stupid belt anymore.
Yeah, you take it.
Yep.
Hey. Earl. Oh, he's very angry. Razor's taking my belt. Mine! You don't deserve it. You couldn't even grab it the first time.
Three times.
Yeah. No, he's going to put it on himself. That's what a tough guy is. Hey.
Well, who didn't see that coming?
A good manly handshake. All right, now that that's over, I can go ahead and go to the reviews of this. Dave Meltzer, 4 3/4 stars.
Okay.
Yes. Reaction speaks for itself. I think WrestleMania 10 was the best WWF pay-per-view ever, but this was among the most well-received WWF pay-per-views ever. Shawn Michaels is the best performer in American pro wrestling.
I think he is.
A ladder match, and he rated the match one of the top five WWF matches ever. Then again, this was only 1995, so he might have changed his mind since then.
Yeah, I would not put it top five match. I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Dave's also.
Okay. Well, it might have been one of the top five WWF matches of 1995.
Probably. Yeah, or okay. Top five matches on this card.
Yeah, well, now, the match you rated the lowest on this show was Alundra Blaze versus Bertha Faye. So. Okay. Wade Keller gives the ladder match 5 stars. The women's match at the bottom of 1 star. One of the most important days in the career of Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. The success of the ladder match was his lead story in the Torch.
Okay.
Oh, and here's Dean Douglas to review the ladder match. Guess what he has to say.
I think I agree with Dean Douglas.
Yeah. And the worst part was he couldn't even grab the ladder. Failure to reach an acceptable standard.
Yeah, I think I agree with Dean Douglas.
Yeah, well, now you got to admit we've watched several hundred ladder matches since this took place, at the very least.
Have we?
Probably.
I'm just saying, like, they just kind of stalled around a lot and tried to build up phony drama. It didn't feel like they were actually fighting for anything.
Oh, Razor Ramon found where Shane Douglas is taping this. Oh, yeah?
Look.
I'm surprised he didn't... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Look, I don't care who you are. You can't come into the gap unless you're wearing a mask.
Oh. What he should have done was kept the glasses on and say, you wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you? I mean, come on. If you're going to do that character. Unbelievable. There was a fist fight backstage on a WWF show.
In Pittsburgh, no less.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so, yeah. Bruce Mitchell loved the show. Let's see. Says, anything, if anything could happen in the WWF, one of those possibilities would be WWF putting on a damn fine pay-per-view. Very good. And
wow.
Bruce, columnist Chris Saviza says, any pay-per-view that gives us Michaels versus Razor, Kid versus Akushi, and Barry Horowitz versus Skip has to get a big thumbs up. All right.
Wow. Chris Saviza, yep. Like, holy cow.
Yep. All right, here we go. So, it's the main event, and, those poor enhancement guys from Pittsburgh. Thought they were going to get some easy money tonight. Nope. They got to carry King Mabel. Well, you know who, the incident earlier was Sassafras discovered that the door to the basement had been left open, so I had to run out there and close it before she wandered off. And yeah, you know who would have done a much better job taking care of Sassafras than I just did? That would be Ken of Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. Ken is,
Ken has got animals that have special needs. For example,
that's true.
He's got a dog, a little Boston Terrier Terry, that only has one eye.
Right.
And Terry is adorable, and he takes Terry out, and because of his training and his certifications, he's able to give Terry the best care and the best exercise that fits your pet's need, regardless of whether it's sighted or perhaps a leg. I mean, many of us have, like, a beloved animal who, say, is not always maybe the picture of beauty.
No.
And, Ken can take care of any dog, any cat, any animal, no matter their special need.
That's right. That's why he's Ken. So and you should definitely, I know Jim raves about him, but Ken's a fine photographer. You should definitely, if you like pictures of dogs and cats, check out Ken and Ken on Facebook and Instagram, KENANDTEK, Ken and Tech, on both. He's also on Twitter, KENANDTEK, or go to KenandTech.com. Find out all of his services in the Bangor, Maine area. We're coming up on summer, and you know how it is in Bangor. It's a beautiful season. People like to vacation there. Plan in advance. Talk to Ken. You know, find out if he'll be available to look after your dog, cat, bird, or what have you. And if he can't, he will put you in touch with somebody who can. That's why we love him. That's why he's our sponsor, Ken of Ken and Tex Pet Care. All right, so it's our main event, Jim. And nothing says main event like a guy with a WWF logo on his crown.
I think that this is, again, it's just a match where you have the wrestler, Diesel, you know, kind of a realistic type character against a cartoon yet again in King Mabel.
Wait, you're saying that there aren't guys who dress like that in real life?
Yeah, there are. I believe they're called SoundCloud rappers.
Okay.
But
well, yeah.
But no, you know, this is the WWE doing its transition. Oh my gosh. Is Mabel going to win the championship, Pat? He's holding up the belt like that.
I don't know. Wow. Is that. And he's got a mohawk. Well, he's obviously championship material.
I don't know. What thin material is that crown made out of?
Gold foil? I don't know.
They had to steal that from a really nice Burger King. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. One of the upscale ones. Maybe they went to Westchester. I don't know. All right, we're underway.
You can tell that Mabel is a heel because his mohawk is black, and when he's a babyface, his mohawk is white. It's like he has mood hair.
Right. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like... Oh, there we go. Like, for many years, Chris Jericho, when he had facial hair, he was a heel. And when he was clean-shaven, he was the good guy.
Right.
Kind of like he was in the... Kind of like, you know, the Star Trek Mirror Universe.
And also, you can tell here with King Mabel, he's wearing purple. He's also Evil Barney.
That's right. He doesn't get as many... Yeah, he didn't get as many bookings for that as he thought he would, though.
You'd think they'd do well at kids' parties in the 90s.
I know. It's a shame. All right, time to choke. And choke. And choke. All right. King Mabel without the services of Sir Mo, for some reason. Oh, no, there he is. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, there's Sir Mo. He was just sort of blending in, though. I don't know. Oh.
You know, that Diesel Power,
right?
The logo on Kevin Nash's tights, the front of his shirt, looks not unlike the logo that Braun Strowman uses. Doesn't he have, like, the Braun engine or the Braun...
Right, locomotive or something, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, he's got, like, the train iconography, too.
Right. Hmm. Well, that's... Well, Diesel, you can actually sort of understand a diesel engine, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Well, Braun Strowman, he might just be a monster train.
He could be.
Yeah. Choo-choo. There you go. Up. Up, here we go. And... Oh! All right, oh, he's knocked Mabel out of the ring.
Kevin Nash, not Road Warrior Hawk.
No, he's not. Although I think he'd admit that. Yeah. There we go.
But, I mean, this has got to be hard for Kevin Nash. I mean, Kevin Nash is a large gentleman.
Yes.
And,
with,
you know,
with a history of knee problems, yeah.
History of knee problems, and, you know, it's hard for a guy of his dimensions to be able to do what you need to do to carry a guy like Mabel to a passable match.
Oh, well maybe you just fall on him. Maybe that'll do it.
Looks like my first dive in the pool of the summer.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I mean, say what you will about maybe, you know, if you dive on him, you know he's not going to move out of the way.
Unlike Phoenix on AEW, I think.
No kidding. Oh,
God. Oh, boy.
Thanks, that's another story. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Double or Nothing weekend, by the way. That was a great show last night. We taped in advance. I have no idea what happened last night. But,
yeah. I don't understand why. I mean, I get that Nelson Frazier, King Mabel.
Yes.
He's big.
Right.
And has a large body type. But, you know, that outfit looks just a lot like him in Men on a Mission. It's not intimidating. Even, you know, it's got the black shirt, I guess, underneath. Yes. But he's not. I don't know. He needs new gear. Something more intimidating or something.
You're saying that doesn't look intimidating.
It does not.
I mean, you're saying that, I mean, he just looks like the Sacramento Kings mascot or something.
He looks like giant Yerpel the clown.
Well, I don't know. Yerpel might protest on that. Sir Mo, by the way, got to interview him once on the Pro Wrestling Torch livecast. The only wrestler who ever did an interview with me while hooked up to a dialysis machine.
A nice man he is. He's at Cauliflower Alley often. Sometimes he does raps and stuff before some of the banquets.
Sir
Always
Mo?
Very entertaining.
Bobby Horn? Okay. Yeah.
Very entertaining.
All right. Okay. Two count.
Or is it Oscar? I mean, it's Oscar.
Oscar, yeah, it's Oscar. Bobby Horn's the guy who tried to steal money from Mabel's widow. Allegedly. I'm sorry. I gotta say allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, that's also remarkable, the run that King Mabel had in WWE.
Yeah. Well, they broke the turnbuckle. Yeah. No, it is. That's true. I mean, he came back as Viscera, and they needed... The Ministry of Darkness needed a monster, and there he was. He looked a little more intimidating in his hefty trash bag he was wearing.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah. When I wear a hefty trash bag, I look very intimidating.
This is where Kevin Nash got injured, isn't it? Kevin's like, don't drop on me.
Yeah.
And then he drops on him.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Right here? Did we?
I'm hoping we didn't already miss it while we were talking.
Yeah, but yeah, Kevin Nash gets his back messed up here.
Yeah, he does, and sort of killed Mabel's push, like, dead when he does it. Okay, there we go. Is this it? This is it. Oh, yeah, this is it. Oh, no, it isn't. Shoot. Okay, good.
While I'm sure this did not help Mabel's career... There is only so much you can do, I think, in this era.
With a guy that size, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, here we go. Up. Oh, yep, well, the official's knocked out. Any sort of tomfoolery can happen, like a 2-on-1 beatdown, for example. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is, you know what, this is not really, oh, here we go, he's getting help. Lex Luger's coming out to help, and Diesel punched him.
Was that what? I thought that was Alan Jackson, judging by the shirt. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, wait, he came to Diesel's help, and Diesel beat him up.
Well, you know, he was way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
Yeah, who knows. Oh no. This is it? Was that it?
I don't know. There's just something not threatening about being beaten up by the men on a mission.
Do you think?
Yeah.
It's like being beaten up by Grimace and the Hamburglar?
Well, it's just like, what's next? And in your house, is it Kevin Nash taking on Well Done?
Well, hey. Oh, here we go. Up. Well, Lex Luger has run off Sir Mo. So now we're back to a 1-on-1 match. Get him, Lex! Get him! Oh. Belly to belly, it's over. Nash is dead.
Of course, you can see his eyes wide open.
Yep. Oh, too. All right, little kids are excited.
They are. They want that diesel power.
That's right. I mean, really nothing helps a wrestling show like having a bunch of screaming little kids, you know, sitting up close.
True, lots of excitement.
Yep, there we go. Oh, nope. And there's a miss. Oh, jeez. All right, so Nash, probably a little more than a little bit upset right now. Getting back to
waving the British flag. Yeah. See the British flag over there.
Yeah.
Is that for King Mabel? Is that what?
No, he's not. No. I guess he was expecting Davy Boy to run in. You'd think. Oh! Poor Earl Hebner's like, no, please, God.
Well, they can't powerbomb him.
Nobody can powerbomb him. There we go. All right, that's it. All right. There he is. Kevin Nash is your winner.
The Nash who saved Pittsburgh.
Yay. Outstanding. All right. Yay. Okay. Pittsburgh is Diesel's country or something. I don't know.
Powered by diesel?
Yeah, sure. Pittsburgh is diesel power. Powered, yes. All right. Congratulations. Diesel retains his title. Shawn Michaels retains his title. Wow. Yes, oh, and Kevin Nash, the leader of the new WWF generation. Yes.
For about another 9 months.
Leader of the new WWF generation has a bad back at this point. He got hurt. Are you excited? Okay, is that it? Yeah, that's our show. Apparently, there. All right. From reading the description, they went off the right before they went off the air. They had Gorilla Monsoon announce that they were going to be. I think they had the announcement that there was of next month's In Your House. But yeah. Anyway, that doesn't matter now. All right. So that is SummerSlam 1995.
Bored of wrestling podcasts but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Let's go ahead and go over what happens next. The WWF, following this, went to do their taping Monday night in Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in front of 1,600 people. Yikes. They taped one episode of Superstars, where Shawn Michaels beats Tatanka in the main event, and where D'Lo Brown appeared as job guy AC Connor. They also taped the two episodes of Raw that would be the first two episodes of Raw that would be competing with Nitro, the September 11th and September 18th shows. The September 11th show is, of course, Shawn Michaels versus Psycho Sid. September 18th, the main event is Owen Hart and Yokozuna against Men on a Mission, and both those available on the WWE Network. But yeah, so I don't think I'm giving too much away. Meanwhile, WCW on Wednesday, August 30th. They head back to center stage to tape episodes of WCW Saturday Night. And at that show, Vader had a locker room brawl with Paul Orndorff and got suspended indefinitely and later let go. Also at that taping, it was the team of Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman defeating Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater. And Ric Flair defeated Craig the Pitbull Pittman. Yay. Let's see. ECW on Monday night, Jim. Had a show in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania at the Big Apple Dinner Theater in front of 300 people. I am not making this up.
What did Tony and Tina's wedding cancel? What?
Please tell me that Rob Feinstein made a tape of this somewhere in the fan cam. Okay, so on that.
Detroit, pepper steak is the entree.
This ECW champion, the Sandman, beat Tommy Dreamer in the main event. The team of a Falls Count Anywhere match, because that's what you want at dinner theater. Mikey Whipwreck and Flyboy Rocco Rock defeated the Gangstas. So they got that going for them, which is nice. Smoky Mountain Wrestling took the week off, returning September 2nd in Barberville, Kentucky, in front of 450 people who saw the Heavenly... What's that?
Were they at the Supper Theater?
No, they weren't. No, I think they were in a gym.
The Vittles Theater?
No. No, you'd think they would have made Branson, Missouri, but no. The Yakov Smirnoff Theater, yeah. On that show, anyway, Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, defeated Tracy Smothers and the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, by disqualification. And in the main event, it was...
The Statler Brothers in a Royal Rumble.
That's right. It was Bob Armstrong and Brad Armstrong defeating Buddy Landell and Tommy Rich in the main event. So they got that going for them, which is nice. All right. So let's see. Other notes. Let's see. Visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. Leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And check out our Patreon at waybackplayback.com. patreon.com/waybackplayback, where we are dumping all the old episodes from before we were, from when we were behind the paywall. And you can get a couple different tiers of service there. And we will try to come up with some other content to keep you people satisfied. Please sign up. It won't hurt too badly, and you'll get to hear all of our old stuff, which was just every bit as fascinating as you can possibly remember. I think the last thing I put up here was the 88 Rumble, which we did, which, of course, included Dino Bravo's bench press. That was the highlight of that three-hour show. No?
You say so. So we need to pick some special shows. Is that what we're doing now?
Episode 299 is next week, and... So the question, usually we try to arrange it so that the big numbered episodes, like say 300 coming up, you know, are sort of their own deal, which would mean that for episode 299, we would have to do a, pick a 1-hour show, something that we could wrap up, a self-contained episode, if you will. Does that make sense?
I'll pretend it does.
Okay. So let's see here. All right, so I went through the listener submissions, and what we're going with, let me get the book out here. It comes to us from, hold on, let me make sure I got this right. Thomas Wagner from Morrow, Georgia, posted this on our Facebook page.
A great guy.
He is?
Thomas Wagner is the best.
Oh, cool.
Thomas Wagner is a longtime wrestling fan, and he's a big theme park guy, and he and his wife, Lynette, often go to before the pandemic, go to Universal Studios, and I'm sure that word that the City Walk and Universal's opening up, and probably before too long we'll see the theme parks open up. And sounds like he's been working really hard at his job, and he deserves a break. So he's a really, really good guy, super good guy, super smart, super great at his job. He loves the movie Jaws. He loves Superman. He loves all the cool stuff. He's a cool cat.
Okay, well. Well, if Jim likes him, then he's a cool cat. And I'm not even joking about that. All right. So he requested the 1987 WWF Slammy Awards. You still want to say nice things about him? Okay. I'm just kidding.
Interesting choice. It's funny. I'll give him that.
All right. So you sure now you might want to save that for episode 300. So think about it.
Right.
All right. Okay. But here we go. Yeah, all right, so we got that in there. Jim, would you like to go next?
Okay. So, here's what I have done.
All right.
I just picked a 2-hour show.
Ah.
And for 300, if it times out right, which who knows if it will, I don't know. It's math, I don't care.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, is it should give us one of the most legendary matches of all time.
I'm listening.
That's the plan. So, hang on, let me bring it up here. I am looking at WWF on YouTube, Madison Square Garden, October 17th, 1983.
And MSG.
Big matches. If we voted on it, big matches would include Bob Backlund and the MASH Superstar for the world title. So, Bob Backlund's, we're winding down Bob Backlund's title reign. And for 300, we would have the match that inspired Mick Foley, that caused him to hitchhike all across so he could see the Magnificent Morocco in a cage against Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Well, I like
that. That's what I picked for the two shows. So that match would be for episode 300.
Okay. All right. So, well, this does influence what I'm going to be doing. Let me see. Okay. Do we have? And that's not on the network. I just checked. So, all right. So I'm going to have to go in a different direction, away from the WWF stuff. All right. So, in the year
19. Do whatever you want.
No, no.
Do whatever you want.
I could. All right. If I do whatever I want, then. All right. 1988, April 1988, Clash of Champions 1. Sting versus Ric Flair, Midnight Express versus the Fantastics. We have not done that show.
Wow, we haven't. It's crazy.
I know it's crazy. But I think.
And you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, but if that times out correctly, and who knows if it will, Sting versus Ric Flair is episode 300.
That would be great.
That would be pretty awesome. So I don't know how we're going to top that.
Wait, there's more, though.
What's that?
Clash Champions 1, also, on that show, Ken Osmond. He was a judge.
Oh, that's right.
Of Sting Ric Flair match. Eddie Haskell, who just passed away, is on.
Sadly, he just passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our condolences, by the way, to the family and friends of Shad Gaspard. I mean, geez. I mean, seeing the Owen Hart, if seeing the Owen Hart stuff again and being reminded of that wasn't a big enough bummer, losing Shad Gaspard is also falls into that category. So
it's been a rough week in the wrestling world.
It's been a rough week in the world too. So why not? All right, let's go ahead and we got to spin the randomizer, and we're going to see which one of the many thousands of things we have in here is going to pop up as an option for episode 299. I'm going to give the wheel a big spin. Mid-Atlantic, All-Star Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, Global, WCW Saturday Night, and hey, guess what, Jim? We stopped at WCW Saturday Night. WCW Saturday Night specifically for November 21st, 1992, which does time out as a one-hour show. And on that show, you get, in tag team competition, Sting teaming with Heavy Metal Van Hammer against Ravishing Rick Rude and Cactus Jack in one of the greatest Parejas Incredibles matches ever, I guess. Oh, and in the main event, it's Dustin Rhodes versus Vader. That is not bad for a one-hour show. It's chosen at random.
No, and for a Saturday night, God, that's like the WrestleMania of Saturday night cards.
Okay, so we got the Slammies. We have Clash of Champions 1. We have Snuka versus Morocco in a cage, and we have a quality WCW Saturday Night from 1992. I think that's pretty good for episode 299 and possibly episode 300.
Did you mention the Slammies?
I did mention the Slammies, but I'll mention again the 1987 Slammy Awards. Yep, that's also on you, and two of those are on YouTube. So tell your friends. Call somebody, tell them, be ready for next week's Wayback Playback, just in time for Memorial Day weekend. I think, yeah. Wait, yeah, Memorial Day weekend next weekend. Okay, so that's perfect. So on that note, we already did that part. Okay, if you'd like to know more about Jeff Hardy, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, King Mabel, or Kevin Nash, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, Wrestling Observer, or any other fine pro wrestling historical site. Do not head down to your local library without calling ahead, especially if you live in a blue state. Jim?
Exactly. And we will see what you vote for. Be sure to vote at Real Papping Neil on Twitter, and we will see what you guys choose. Same Wayback time, same playback channel.
Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. Also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. And I'll have to come up with some other social media stuff to throw in there. But until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.